Good morning and welcome to Fairhope Hospice Presents, sponsored by Fairhope Hospice and Palliative Care, your original hometown hospice, which includes the Pickering House, Hospice of Fairfield County, Hospice of Hocking County, and Hospice of Perry County. The views expressed on today's show are those of the participants and may not reflect the views of the staff and management of WLOH Radio Company. Now, here's your host for Fairhope Hospice Presents, Denise Bauer.
Good morning and welcome to our program. I'd like to welcome our special guest here, Rick Schneider, Community Education Coordinator. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Denise. It's good to be here.
And Happy New Year. It's 2009, our first show of the year. It's been a great time. Hey, I didn't get a chance to ask you before we went on the air, Rick. Any New Year's resolutions we need to know about?
Well, see, I never make my New Year's resolutions. I never keep them. So, in fact, this year, I was going to make a New Year's resolution, but I didn't. So I think, in fact, I'd actually kept my first New Year's resolution by not making one.
Because your New Year's resolution was not to make New Year's resolutions.
Right. Okay, so I actually did it. So there we go.
So, hey, you're on a roll this year.
I finally got a New Year's resolution. But I guess I was going to do the usual, you know, quit jumping out of airplanes and that kind of thing. Those are the only ones I can keep.
So, okay.
I'm just glad to be alive, to be honest with you.
And, you know, that's part of, you know, work, our work.
Yeah. That is true. We celebrate life.
We do.
Just day at a time. No,
that's it. We do. So
you don't worry about the future too much. It's they say worrying about the future is like praying for something to go wrong, you know, because everybody worries about what's going to happen tomorrow if I don't get my test done or if I don't do this or that. It's almost like you're praying for something to go wrong. Just enjoy today and, make the best of it.
So. Right. Enjoy and celebrate life every day.
You betcha.
You know, it's funny. I've asked, you know, many friends over the last couple of weeks, do you have any New Year's resolutions? And really, people are not really making New Year's resolutions anymore, at least maybe in my generation. You know, I'm not seeing that.
Yeah.
It's like I guess they've made them enough years, they've decided, well, I don't keep them, so why do it? Why set myself up to fail, right?
That's what I heard of a study. In fact, I heard on the radio, somebody was talking about only 52% of the people who make resolutions when they make them feel that they're going to keep them. Mm-hmm. So what's the use of making one to begin with? I mean, half of them are right out of the chute, I'm not going to do it anyway. So I guess it is. It is kind of a silly thing. And then on the second thing, if you're going to do a resolution, why don't you just do it now?
Right.
You know, people are going to quit smoking, start January 1st. Well, just quit smoking now, you know.
Right.
Because I made a resolution to quit smoking on January 1st. This was years ago. And that lasted for about 12 hours. And then I made it for, you know, first day of spring. And that went for a couple days. And then April 1st and then April 5th. And I finally did quit on April 15th.
Well, good.
But I tell people it's easy to quit smoking. I did it 15 times. You know.
It was tax day. Government took your money. Mark says here.
I couldn't afford it. Yeah. I'd send them all the blood from the turnip I could get. And I'll quit. But, yeah, any more at $5 a pack or 25 cents a hit, it's pretty expensive.
It is.
But, I guess if you're going to make it a resolution, just do whatever you're going to resolute. Just do it anyway.
Resolute.
Yeah. Is that post-resolution?
Resolute. Yeah. Okay, whatever.
Is that a whiskey? Anyway.
That's absolute.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I know one of the things we've talked about is all the great things that we've shared over the years. And, you know, we were trying to reflect back on 2008 and really thinking about 2009 being our 25th anniversary for actually our original name, Hospice of Fairfield County. We were the fourth Medicare certified hospice in the state of Ohio. Mm-hmm. And so we go back 25 years, even though we've, you know, progressed over the years. And, you know, we are now Fairhope Hospice, which, you know, just to remind our listeners, FAIR stands for Fairfield. The HO and HOPE stands for Hocking, and the PE stands for Perry. So it kind of takes into effect all the areas that we primarily serve, even though we, you know, do go into the bordering areas.
You wonder if like we would have been Wyandotte, Cuyahoga, and something else, what our name would have been.
I don't know. Let me think about that one.
Honkawi Hospice.
Yeah. So it just worked out. Fairhope came out of that. But, you know, I've actually been with our hospice for 14 years. You've been with us, what, 10?
11 and a half.
11 and a half.
Close enough as a volunteer, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're not counting hours and minutes or anything at this point. Okay.
Mileage.
You know, when we think back, I just think back, you know, to the 14 years I've been here, all the changes we've had. And then if you think back 25 years, you know, we've had Dr. Mark Miller on our program, neuropsychologist here in town. And he was one of our founding members of this hospice program. And he's on our board of trustees. And just to think that the commitment he's had, you know, for this program for 25 years. You know, Dr. Jerome Roach, one of our medical directors for over 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, Lori Householder, who's worked for us.
In fact,
you know, since
she was the original company because it was started out as visiting nurses.
Right.
And so she was involved with that. And as it became hospice, Lori stayed. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And Donna Householder, one of the original director, is basically, you know, involved with our capital campaign for the Pickering House. And then we have Carolyn Fisher, who was our first patient care coordinator, who actually hired me. And we won't hold that against her.
No, she did a good job, obviously. She knew what she was doing.
But she's on our board of trustees. So, I mean, just, you know, it's just been great to think about the 25 years that we've been serving and providing hospice care and how even some of the founding members are still involved with our program. I mean, that's really unheard of. I mean, I've in the time that I've been involved with hospice, actually, I helped start a hospice in Delaware over 20 years ago when it first came here. And one of the things I'm finding now in the industry, when I go to Ohio Hospice and Palliative Care Organization meetings, is that we're kind of changing of the guard. A lot of the original nurses and people that started hospices are now retiring. So we're kind of entering a different dimension. And, you know, one of the things that I remember of 2008, and we have talked about a little bit, is we have new regulations. The first time since hospice was enacted in this country as a benefit, we have new, what we call conditions of participation, which is our Medicare benefit. And so you think 25 years, what a change that is. But it's really affecting our entire industry, really. If you think about it, we've got, you know, a lot of people retiring that, you know, helped start hospice in this country, as well as new regulations to follow. So it's kind of fun to look at the new year and to see how all these things are going to, you know, formulate and how the industry is going to change and hopefully continue to grow and, you know, serve more and more people.
Yeah, because the hospice movement really in America is about 1978. I think it started in New Haven, right? Anyway, in 1978. So it is the passing the baton, more or less, and hospice has become mainstream now, except it wasn't just a hospice philosophy or a movement or an idea. It is now part of the medical care system, you know, just the last stage of the care system, but it is now becoming ingrained. And people understand what we do, so it's developing and expanding. And that's a lot of reason for the new rules.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that's really, you know, come to I guess, maybe show some of the newer things that are happening in hospice is the palliative care programs that many hospices have developed, including us and the Ohio Hospice and even the National Hospice Organization about 8 to 10 years ago, developed palliative care. And a lot of people, I don't know if you're, when you're out, Rick, if a lot of people ask you, but I still get asked a lot of questions about what is palliative care.
Yeah, it is. And I describe it as care without curing. We're caring for somebody. We're not trying to cure the illness. It can't be cured like kidney disease or something. You know, kidney disease can't be cured, but you can go on dialysis. So there's different illnesses that can be, we can comfort the patient. And it might not be a terminal illness, it's just a chronic lifelong illness.
Right.
So,
absolutely. That, and go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and that's what basically what palliative care is just caring for the person, but not doing intrusive measures that will try to cure it because it can't be.
Right. And so when we look at hospice and palliative care, and you, when you look at our name even, hospice is if the disease runs its normal course, which, just like life, no disease really runs a normal course.
Right.
But they have experts that guess at that, okay?
Yeah, weatherman, you know.
Yeah. Oh, we won't even go with the weather thing, okay? But one of the things that we look at is that the disease, if it would run a normal course, maybe looking at statistics, it's 6 months or less the patient would be expected to live. Now, you and I both know, Rick, we've had people on our hospice a year, even up to 2 years or more, because they're just kind of in a slow progressive decline. And we keep those patients on our hospice program. That's one of the things we work closely with the patient's physician and our medical directors to assure that they are still appropriate. I think one of the terms that the National Hospice Program came up with a few years ago was, if you wouldn't be surprised that the person died in 6 months or less, then they are appropriate for hospice care.
That's why, you know, I try to emphasize to people when I'm talking to groups that in a lot of ways we do things in pencil. You know, 6 months or less is the basic criteria, but we're not saying at 6 months we're discharging you. If, you know, you're recertified, we look over the situation. We've had people on for over a year.
In 2 years,
because the illness stabilizes, goes downhill, maybe improves a little, then deteriorates again. So we keep them on, and we don't have any contracts, so there's no worry about that kind of thing. You know.
Right. And with the palliative care, that extends from that 6 months maybe out to a year or two when someone's diagnosed with, you know, a life-limiting illness. Mm-hmm. But they're not really what we call terminally ill ready for hospice. That's where we have care that, you know, we've really worked with the hospital to establish the 4-bed palliative care unit at Fairfield mm-hmm. Medical Center. We have, you know, physicians that will make visits in nursing homes as well as patients' homes, doing palliative care consults mm-hmm. to see if there's some way we can help manage pain or symptoms or give, you know, information on advanced directives or things like that, you know, because we know that's a gray area sometimes when people are, you know, looking yeah. at a life-limiting illness, but they're not quite where they're ready for hospice. So
sure.
we, you know, that's been one thing I think we, you know, we've really developed over the last few years. And, you know, as we continue to look at 2009, I'm sure we've got more and more things that we'll be doing as well as developing that program more.
Oh, yeah. As industry, I'm trying to think of the word, as we learn more about the health of the human body, there are areas, and I'm sure that we'll be able to expand and help people in that direction. And plus our bereavement, as we learn more about the grieving process. You know, we contact or stay in contact with people for 13 months. But as we're learning more and more about the grieving process, there's some patients or some families that stay with us much longer.
Yeah.
So we're learning.
Yeah, we are, Rick. We're learning every day, aren't
we? We're a work in progress.
That's what I always tell everybody. We're a
work
in progress. We definitely are. Well, on that note, I think we're going to take a short break. I want to thank Rick Schneider for being with me this morning. And you're listening to Fairhope Hospice Presents on WLOH, 1320 AM, First in Talk Radio.
Talk Radio 1320, WLOH.